JIFF, the Jewish International Film Festival. Welcome, Eddie Tamir, to the studio.
Thanks, Eitan. Thanks for having me.
Eddie is, as I would say, described him before, is a Mr. Jewish Cinema of Australia and the initiator, together with his wife, Lindy, of a fascinating festival that grows and goes from strength to strength. And Eddie, short time, what an amazing program. And I would like to ask, first of all, about your dedication and your time and your share to really bring to Australian audiences in Canberra, in Brisbane, but mainly in the big cities in Sydney and Melbourne, such a long program over nearly a month, telling them culture of the Jewish people.
Yeah, it's been 6 years of really rewarding work to create this festival and, well, build on the history of Jewish festivals that came before us. But to really, really put in our heart and soul and resources and, I suppose, give a snapshot of Jewish experience in the whole world, in all the four corners of the world. That's the big mission. And there's a lot going on, a lot of creativity all over the world in the medium of film. And the other thing that we felt that was interesting was to unify the Jewish voice in film. So Israeli Jewish voices, diaspora Jewish voices, and bring it all together, because we often, I think in the Jewish world, maybe too often, it's kind of a bit separate, you know, both politically, culturally, creatively, or in all sorts of ways. The diaspora and the Israeli Jewish world is, you know, too often not together on things. So we believe it's very important to integrate that.
And you know, you're going through the program, reading the program, and you have Poland is involved, Mexico is involved, Israel, Australia with so many films, and then Jewish aspects, the bridging between the Dibuk, a historical, really dot of Israeli and Jewish cinema, in fact, and to go then and decide on Menashe, the Yiddish language film of the festival, is opening the festival. What was the motivation?
Yeah, it's a good question. And we think a lot about the opening. We like our opening to be bold, I suppose. And I suppose opening with a film with an ancient, supposedly dead language, definitely dying, if not dead, in a lot of people's eyes, we felt that was something very fresh and important, even though it's going back. It's also going forward, because people are reconnecting to their cultures, to the authenticity of their cultures, and Yiddish too. And again, having, you know, Israeli parents, I know what Yiddish meant in Israel, and it was not particularly, you know, flattering when you spoke Yiddish. You had to speak Hebrew. Yiddish was not particularly respected, and yet it's starting to change, and people are reconnecting to their roots, regardless of the political sheen on things. And, you know, and I'm into language. You know, we've got 26 countries, films from 26 different countries, so many different languages. And I think, you know, a lot of people say, oh, they don't like subtitles because subtitles are distracting. But to me, having subtitles means you're also hearing and listening and seeing something in its authentic language. And I think that's very special. So opening with Menashe, which is a critically lauded film. It's not just a Yiddish film and the first Yiddish commercial film in 50 years. It was in the Sundance Film Festival. It's a beautiful story about a father and a son. And it just stands on its own as a quality film, as well as the layering of culture, cultural questions, you know, that Yiddish brings up.
Interesting enough, was there once a website called Juhu, long ago, maybe 10 years ago, and you looked for artists and famous people in the Jewish world, and I found out that one of my heroes, Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits, is the son of a Jewish Hungarian father who migrated to Scotland in the 40s, and I see on the program, Bang, the Bert Burns story. Come on, twist and shout. It was like, for me, a wake-up call. Where did you find the film? How did you catch it and brought it here to Australia? Yes. Such an amazing story.
Yeah, it's a great story. And it's amazing some of these stories about people, and we have quite a few of them, about people that it's amazing we've never heard of them before type stories, and he's definitely one of them. Great songwriter, producer, not just of Twist and Shout, Piece of My Heart, many, many of the songs that you think are someone else's, he created. How do we find it? Well, we actually, you know, we go to film festivals around the world. We also request things to be sent to us, and we probably see, on average, about a film a day. So it's, you know, have a coffee, watch a film, and then start, you know, and then start the day. So we try to dig deep into what's happening around the world to find films.
You create an opportunity for so many, I would say in Hebrew you say tovet. This maybe covers a sort of space for every age group in the community. And one of the things that I like very much is the story, for example, of Hedy Lamarr, or the picture of Miles Davis trumpeting in another movie that
Body and Soul.
Body and Soul. And you know, you bring in culture on the screen that connects the African American community with the Jewish people, and then Hollywood. And we know so many producers, so many. For me, it wasn't a surprise that someone like Natalie Portman or Gal Gadot is there is a Jewish connection to Hollywood. Can you share this about, you know, about picking the movies that reminds us that we are really contributing not only as a startup nation but also to culture worldwide?
Yeah. So this year in particular, the lineup is startling in relation to, I guess, Jewish contribution to society and culture. We've got a film called More Alive Than Dead, a documentary about Freud and Freud's effect on society today and his continuing effect. We've got an incredible brand new documentary series called Russian Jews, and it's a 5.5-hour program with pierogi breaks in between. And it's the history of the Russian Jews from the very beginning when Russia, you know, when the first Jewish presence in a Russian entity existed, all the way through. So even just in that story, you talk about Chagall and Trotsky and Marx and the creative cultural contribution just in Russia and the impact of that on the world, apropos what you're asking me.
Yes.
The contribution, you know, they're the pillars. But just what you're saying about Juhu or who is a Jew, there's some funny websites about that, and, you know, that running joke of, you know, did you know that he was Jewish, she was Jewish? Like Hedy Lamarr, a lot of people would not actually connect to the fact that she was, an East European Jewish chick. Our closing film, for example, Rebel in the Rye, is about J.D. Salinger. And J.D. Salinger's father was Jewish. His mother was actually not Jewish, but she changed her name to Miriam, and he was brought up in a Jewish home, the great author of Catcher in the Rye. So, you know, there's a lot of incredible connections. And back to Yiddish. So Yiddish, I think Yiddish has a direct line to Hollywood in terms of just that, the storytelling and the kind of neo-realist filmmaking and the energy of filmmaking and in early Hollywood, that producing energy that came out of a displaced Eastern Europe is definitely, has been told before, but it matters to me. I love that stuff.
Maybe final about the program, and then we'll go for a few minutes to the side events that you plan.
Sure.
Ben-Gurion epilogue.
Yeah.
The first time in Australia, this unbelievable footage that was found about Ben-Gurion, and he is a visionary, and people should go and listen to Ben-Gurion, is right forever about everything.
It is amazing. I mean, this footage, this six-hour TV interview that was never aired, was found about 5 years ago by Yariv Moser, the director, who's actually coming. He's actually a guest of the festival. You should definitely come and listen to him. It is amazing. It's a later-in-life interview, but it's so resonant today with what he's saying.
Amazing.
And, it might make some people feel a bit uncomfortable.
Let me tell you, the politicians, especially of today. Unbelievable.
As Ben-Gurion got older, he definitely moved to the left.
The right man at the right time to establish the State of Israel.
Yep.
People must see it. It's a doc forever. I mean,
yep.
We should always go back to listen to what the man said, yeah. Our father, in a way.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's go to your side activities. And what captured me was the Bialik Battenberg project.
Yep.
Can you share what's in your mind and what was bringing this Children of Chance, the Children of Chance,
well, the Children of
film into this project?
Yes. Well, the Bialik Button project is an amazing project. I don't know if you know about it, but it had all the Bialik kids collecting buttons, 1.5 million or so buttons representing every Jewish child killed in the Holocaust, murdered in the Holocaust. And they made a short film about it, and we felt that we wanted to share that with the whole community because it really hasn't been seen very much. And, yeah, we're playing it in front of a film called Children of Chance, which is a French Holocaust story about the survival, the amazing survival of a young Jewish boy and his connection with a lot of non-Jewish kids in a particular hospital and the children and the medical staff there who saved his life.
Then you go into a Jewish movie maker, Danny Ben Moshe, a Jewish made in the UK, who's doing an amazing bridging between Jewish and India, the untold story of Indian cinema. And you have an event around it. Is it celebrating
Absolutely.
The world premiere?
Absolutely. So it's called Shalom Bollywood. And it is just a mind-blowing story. If you talk about contribution to culture, this little detail, this cultural detail, is that your average Indian woman in the early 20s, 30s, and 40s was in a very strict family environment, and they were not allowed to participate in the burgeoning Bollywood film industry. So the women couldn't be actresses. But Jewish Indian women, for some reason, you know, could do whatever they felt like, apparently. And they became the stars of early Bollywood film in India because they had the look. Somehow their look somehow connected and it sort of passed, you know, cut the mustard, as well as that they were amazing actresses. And so that's the story, not just of the actresses, but also the producers and the writers as well, and the connection with general Indian culture and Bollywood culture. And that's a story that Danny tells, which is fantastic.
You know, it's amazing because it reflects the relations between India and Israel in a way. The best, maybe, the subcontinent is maybe the best friend with very few nations in this part of the world. And India is such an ally. Before we finish, please tell me about the jazz night at the Lido.
So we're showing a film, an amazing film called Body and Soul. Again, it's called Building Bridges, which is your point about connection and contribution to society in a larger way than just, you know, into a Jewish world. So Body and Soul tracks the story of the connection between African Americans and American Jews in the development of the jazz culture and the jazz story in early America. And it's amazing, both as, you know, producers and as musicians, all the way to Benny Goodman. Wow. Body and Soul is a song written by a Jewish guy that has been interpreted by many, many people, including Amy Winehouse. And there's an Amy Winehouse exhibition at the Jewish Museum coming up, so we're connecting to that. And we have, in the spirit of that connection, we have an Australian Jewish woman called Fem Belling.
Yeah.
And we're bringing her together with Ruth, who is a Nina Simone proponent. Wow. And we're bringing them together on one night at the Lido to do a gig together to, I guess, share the cross-cultural beauty.
Eddie Tamir, the engine behind the JIFF, thanks so much for joining us, and we all look forward to the lineup of amazing films and activities. And you go and buy your tickets, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Eddie.
See you at the movies. Thanks, Eitan.